Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve an awesome God tonight. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Glad to be here tonight. Amen. Each and every one. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Just thankful that we can be here tonight. Amen. And just thankful for Brother Daniel, special. Amen. Brother Philip, special. Amen. When you have a gift, you have to be ready to be in season. Amen. Ask me how I know. Right? Amen. Didn't know I would be standing up here tonight, but amen. We did find out, Brother Baker found out he took a COVID test just a little bit before service and as a precaution, and sure enough, so amen. He's a positive person. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he's a little run down, but I believe he'll be all right. Amen. Amen. So, like Brother Eli said, things are a little out of order, but that's okay. We trust the order of the Holy Spirit tonight. We trust God. Amen. And he knows, you know. We try and figure things out, and why did this happen, and why would that happen? And I don't know, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I appreciated the things that Brother Eli had to say about that service. Amen. He's just a that's good, solid advice from an elder. Amen. Amen. A lot of wisdom, and just I appreciate that exhortation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to have communion service tonight. We will not have foot washing, however, just because they're in addition to Brother Doug, Sister Jeanette, and who knows how many others have exposed. And of course, it's not that we're afraid or anything like that of COVID, but if we can take a precaution and, you know, keep people healthy, then we definitely want to do that. Amen. Just like we would wash our hands or whatever precautions that we would take. It's a simple precaution and we can do it. Amen. So we will just do that tonight. We'd like to just read a few scriptures here tonight just for our communion service. Pray that would be a blessing to us. You know, as a minister, you always kind of have something rolling around in your head because there's always the what if, right, situation. But usually that's not a communion service. So it's not like you have, you know, something prepared for a communion service. But we're thankful that we have the Word of God. And, amen, we're always blessed and we're always benefited by reading of the Word. So let's start with that tonight. Let's look in our Bibles in John chapter 6. Amen. And if we could just stand tonight, we'll read this text here in John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. And I'm thankful that I did bring my Bible with me tonight. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I mean, this was a statement. Amen. You talk about something that, you know, nowadays they'll take something that a public figure says and they'll chop it up and they'll just take a little sound bite of it and they'll play it over and over and over and over. Can you imagine something like this? If he was in our day, I mean, it would be on, you know, every social media platform, you know, little soundbite quote. Look at what this, you know. Brother Branham told us what their attitude was, right? And so you can imagine how they would have had a field day with it in our day. But even so, they said, who is this man? He's, you know, he's a vampire. He wants us to drink his blood. He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's a pretty powerful statement right there. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to come and, Lord, read your word, partake of your supper tonight. And Father, as we look at your word, we pray that you would just help us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would quicken it to us, Lord, by your Spirit. Give us revelation of it. Make it real to us tonight, Lord. We don't want our Lord's Supper service, Lord, to just be a tradition or some form of religion, Lord. We want it to be a reality to us. And so we just pray that you would be, Lord, we know you're already here, but Lord, that you would just move in your word tonight and just touch our hearts, Father. We look to you to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. So he's speaking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And then he, at the very end of that, he says, "This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Amen. And so right there we get a glimpse that he's speaking to us in type form, in symbol form. Right? And he's saying that God has always provided. He provided a bread. He provided a manna for your fathers in the wilderness. It came down fresh every day. And all they had to do was eat, and it was life. It was the bread of heaven. It was a symbol of Christ himself being the bread, the sustenance. Right? That's what the bread is. It's life. It's life-giving sustenance. Amen? And they were in... they were walking in the wilderness where there was nothing. It was desert. They were in a barren land. Amen? And we live in a barren land spiritually. But we receive spiritual bread through Christ the Word. And it is life to us. Amen? It is our sustaining life. If we're surviving on anything else, it's the wrong kind of life. Amen? The life that He gives... the eternal life that God gives us through the Holy Ghost, it's only sustained by the Word. Amen? That's why we're careful what we feed on. Is that right? Because that life feeds on the Word of God. Amen? And we can't feed it anything else. And so that life-sustaining Word, that is His body. Amen? It's not like the fathers, He said, not as the fathers did eat manna and they died. It was natural. And that was a miracle. And they talked about it to that day. They still, that was our father Abraham, and God, we're descendants from them. And he goes, man, that was just a type of what is now moving in your midst. Amen? And brother, sister, of what we now have. That's why those things were not greater. That's why Jesus said that no man is greater than John. Nothing that happened in the Old Testament is greater than what is happening to you tonight. Because it was all speaking of this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we thankful for that tonight? Amen. They ate that manna and eventually died. He says, but you will eat this bread and live forever. My, what a blessing. Amen. So we know that many... churches, especially the Catholic Church, has taken this and they've had an incorrect teaching on it. And they said, well, that is the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And when you take those communion elements, that it changes to the blood and body of Jesus Christ. But we want to look at we want to go look at Luke chapter 22. We've just got three scriptures that we want to read here tonight, and we want to look at these. About the Lord's Supper here. So Luke chapter 22 and verse 17, I think is what I gave him. It says, and he took the cup. So this is Jesus, and he is having his last supper. Amen? Now, I want to just set the stage a little bit, because we want to understand what this means to him. Okay? Because we want it to mean something to us. Right? We don't want to just come to take communion and, okay, that was nice, and what's next, right? What's tomorrow? This has a meaning. And it had a meaning for him. This was his last opportunity to sit with his brothers around the table before he was crucified. Amen? And he says he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So you see what he was doing? He was looking forward. He was looking at the joy that was set before him. Amen? And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. He was there in his body. And he gave them the bread and said, this is my body. Right? So the bread didn't turn into his body. But it was a symbol. He said, this bread is symbolizing my body. My body won't be here. The body will be, as a memorial, interceding on your behalf. But the bread symbolizes his body. So he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So that's what we're doing tonight. Part of what we're doing. We're remembering. But notice, he started it out looking forward. So we're remembering and we're looking forward. Amen? This is a remembrance, but it's also an excitement. Amen? A looking forward to what's coming. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is now on the table. I didn't get that to them. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Anyway, okay, so we'll end it right there. So this is my blood, which is shed for you. So I love how Jesus is looking forward. He's saying, do this in remembrance of me. Thinking and remembering what has been done for you. But there's coming a time. Amen. A great supper time. Oh, brother, sister, it's going to be wonderful. Amen. You know, we are separated from loved ones now. Either they've gone on to the grave or, like in our case, they're thousands of miles apart. We have loved ones we can't be with. We have friends, people that, you know, we just hate to be separated from, but we'll all gather one day. Amen. And what a time that will be. I'm reminded in the scripture when Abraham, remember when Abraham went to and had the great battle for Lot, you know, they battled against the kings and he had that great trying time and he fought a good fight and he was victorious. And Melchizedek, a type of Christ himself, came to Abraham and Abraham paid tithes to him. Is that right? But look at what he did. They had supper together. They had a time of communion. They sat down and Melchizedek served Abraham a victory meal, a victory supper. Amen? What a time. How fitting it is. And he said, you won a great victory, and he gave him blessings, and it was a time of reward, but it was also a time of rest and a time of reflection, what the trials and struggles that he'd been through. And it was just a joyous sort of capping off of that whole trial and war and battle that Abraham had been through. Amen? A victory supper. Amen. That's what our Lord is going to do. And he's waiting for it. Amen. He says, I'm not going to drink of the vine. I'm going to be on the throne interceding. I'm going to be at the mercy seat interceding for each and every one of my own. Amen. He's working out our salvation. He's taking our own sin and our iniquity on himself. And he's going through that process until that last one comes in, until that last bit of blood is sprinkled. And the last one comes in, and then it's time. Amen. And then what will happen? It'll be a time of victory. It'll be time of gathering. It'll be a joyous time. You think he's looking forward to it? I think so. Amen. It's what he's looked forward to. When he talks about for the joy that was set before him. I believe that that's what he was talking about when he would gather together with all of his own. The ones that he longs for and loves and wants to be with. Amen. And we want to be with him, don't we? We want to be with him and we want to be with each other. Amen. And that's what we're looking forward to. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful promise that we have. So when we take the Lord's Supper, this should be on our mind. This is only a symbol. This is only just a little natural foretaste. But one day I'm going to sit with my Lord and he's going to walk around that table. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. It'll all be all right then. Amen. We won't have to worry about sickness any longer. We won't have to worry about lost loved ones or fighting demons. We won't have to worry about this world anymore and its pain and suffering. Oh, what a time it'll be when we take that supper with him. It'll be a time of victory. Amen. It'll be a victory meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you looking forward to that? Amen. That should be our focus. Amen. That's, you know, what the communion helps us. It helps us remind us and focus us. This is what matters. This is what's important. Amen? So easy to get distracted by things going on around us, but remember, this is what we're headed towards. This is why we're here on earth. Amen? We are to come with sincerity. Where it's not supposed to be kind of a loose attitude. We're supposed to come sober and sincere, trusting that our sins are under the blood of Christ. Amen. That he has washed away our sin stains and made us as white as snow. Amen. The sincerity of the cross. Not a tradition, but it's grace. Amen. It's thankfulness. Amen. You know, when we have Thanksgiving meals, that's just a shadow. That's just a type. Amen. And how what it means to us to gather family together. Amen. And just take the time to say thank you, Lord. And to think back on how good God has been and the blessings in our lives. We think about the good things that we have. We don't dwell on the negative things. Amen. Kind of like what Brother Doug was talking about this morning with him and Sister Baker. Amen. Amen. The Bible says think on these things. The things that are good, the things that are pure. But we come to the table of thanksgiving. We're a thankful people. Amen. We at least we should be thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. We're thankful because we're not the same anymore. We've been changed. We've been delivered. We've been made whole. Amen. And that's what this means to us. That's what it means to me tonight. Amen. That's what it means to, that's what the cup and the bread, it means to me. It means I've been changed. It represents the new me, the new life I've been given. Hallelujah. Amen. We're different. We have different attitudes. We have different ideas. We've taken on the mind of Christ. We've been changed. Hallelujah. Now we know we're taught that communion and foot washing, baptism, those are the three symbols, the three ordinances that we keep. And in the Bible, we don't have a lot of traditions or ordinances or things lined out. Most of the things in churches today are just traditions that people have made up. They're not actually in the scripture, right? But those three are, and so we observe them. Amen? We observe them as often as we can when the time allows and things like that. And as it's led, or as our pastor is led to do it. But we do it with a pure heart. Amen. Baptism, of course, is a symbol of us dying and being raised again. It's the old man going down and the new man coming up. It's a symbol of an outward symbol of an inward work. Amen. And of course, communion and foot washing are the same thing. These are symbolic of the spiritual work that's happened in us. So we, you know, we want to come to the Lord's Supper. We want to come to the table as those that profess Christ, those that are trusting in Him, those that have received His salvation, those that have confessed, repented, been baptized, and we recognize that it's not for the make-believer. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's read 1 Corinthians, the other scripture that we wanted to read tonight, 1 Corinthians 11, amen, verse 23. So we heard Jesus speaking on the matter, amen? So Jesus speaking about how you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then in his last meal, he talks about this. You shall do this right in remembrance of me. And now later in the epistles, Paul comes back and he's quoting Jesus. And he's bringing it right down to us in the New Testament church. Amen. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. So we know that, you know, he's speaking about a make-believer, right? Someone who would profess to be a Christian, but is not living the life. Amen. They know they're not right. Amen. Brother Branham said it was like somebody who professes to be a Christian and then goes out and lives like the world, right? Or somebody who would deny the power of Christ or deny the Word. But it's type to Israel in the Old Testament. Amen. Remember Israel. They were given ordinances to give a sacrifice. Amen. And those sacrifices was their time of communing with God. That was their worship. Amen. They would come to church and offer sacrifices. And it was supposed to be a time of unity with them and Jehovah. Amen. It was supposed to be a blessing time where they were serving God and they would do it with their whole heart. But instead, it became a stench in God's nostrils, the Bible says. Amen? Because they did it with the wrong heart, the wrong attitude. They did it out of a form, a tradition, and they didn't do it from a place of love towards God. They didn't do it from, "Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to do what your word says. I love you. I thank you." Right? That wasn't their attitude. And so it became a stench in God's nostril. And that's the way communion is if we approach it with the wrong heart. But if our heart is right, if we love God, if we want to serve God, if we're trying to do all that's within us, amen, to live right and to show show forth our faith that we are living a Christian life, amen, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a surrendered heart. Amen? You see, they were doing the right thing, but they were doing it the wrong way. Amen? They weren't doing it out of sincerity. They were just doing it because that was just what they were supposed to do. Amen? And we don't want to approach this that way. But I love how he says, When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? God brings chastening to us so that we aren't condemned. It's just to bring us to correction so that we can be right. Amen? But let a man examine himself. Amen. That's what we should do. And I like what, you know, Brother Doug was speaking about this morning. He was saying, you know, that we have to we have to look at our own motives and our own we have to constantly check ourselves. Right? He was talking about how we could go do one thing or go do another. He says, you know, you could be a globetrotter, right? Going around the world all the time, or you know, he could be a doctor or president or whatever. But you want to examine and check yourself, right? Have I let these things be my God? Amen? Because it's not that worldly pleasures not necessarily are bad. It's just that the love of the world must always be under subjection to the love of God. The love of God comes first. But it's up to us to check ourselves, to compare ourselves with the Word of God, to check, amen? And the Holy Spirit in us, leading us and guiding us to do that. So that's what we do when this is a good time to do that when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to the table. It's a time we set aside, you know, once a month, and we should be doing it all the time, frankly, right? But if we haven't, we want to do it for sure tonight, amen? And just do that extra check. Lord, if there's anything, please reveal it to me. Lord, help me. I want to be right. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Amen. Renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Because I want to be right, Lord. And that's the right attitude. Amen. And we remember and look back at what He's done. We rejoice in remembrance of Him. What He's done. But brother, sister, the thing that I love about that, He says, you do this in remembrance of me, but you do it until He comes. We remember Him, and that causes us to look forward. Doesn't it? Amen. You know, if there's somebody that you really love and you haven't seen them in a long time, you remember them. You remember the times they had with them. And what does that cause you to do? To look forward to seeing them again. Amen. It causes you to hunger, desire. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. So that would be our attitude tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I wanted to say tonight. Amen. We're going to go ahead and have our communion service. Amen. Brother Lucas, did he step out? All right. Good timing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. And if we could stand tonight before we partake. Amen. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, and tonight as we take of the cup and we partake of the bread, Lord, symbolizing, Lord, your blood and your body. And Lord, your body was broken for us, Lord, and your blood was shed for us. It was because of our sins that you hung on that cross, Lord, but you gladly did it for us. You did it with joy set before you, looking forward to the day when we would all gather together again in victory, Lord. But Father, we just take this time tonight to remember what has been done for us. Remember our Lamb, our sacrifice. What a great sacrifice it was. We take the time to remember and to thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to to this great salvation. We thank you, Lord, for calling us, Lord, to eternal life. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we can eat with you and drink with you again, as you did with your disciples, Lord. I know you're looking forward to it, Lord. Father, may we just have that on our hearts tonight as we partake. I pray that each one, Lord, if they would be able to examine themselves in the light of your word tonight, and make anything wrong, Lord, or make anything right, maybe, Lord, that might be wrong, Father. Confess their faults one to another as needed. Confess to you, Lord, to make all things right, Father. For we want to come tonight with sincerity and honesty, Lord, and just understanding, Lord, the value that you place on this, Father. We thank you, Father. I thank you for each of my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, their testimony. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. We just pray again that you'd be with him. And Lord, as we partake, we pray that you just bless each one tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.